Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
I'm going to be starting a new series. Actually, it's a continuation and a completion of an unfinished series, which I had entitled Christian Magazines, One Way to Apostasy. But before I go back to that series, I would like to share about a current event. Whenever something is something that's out there that I'd like you to know about or that the Lord brings to my attention, I like to share it. And I was in our Sunday school class the other day, actually last Sunday, and I had made the comment that I thought there were like maybe 100 million Christians in the underground church in China, but I wasn't sure. I knew that number, but I wasn't sure who that 100 million might be. It sounded a little high for Christians in China, but actually, I believe it turns out it was a group, a cult, known as the Falun Gong cult, and I may not be pronouncing that correctly, but this particular group, I believe, it has about 100 million people, followers, in China, mainland China. And then, and when I mentioned that, one of our Sunday school teachers, we split the efforts. There's three different teachers in the class, including yours truly. Bob, one of our teachers, he said that he had gotten some information in the mail on an event known as Shen Yun, and he thought that it might be related to the Falun Gong that I had just mentioned. And sure enough, the more we, you know, compared notes and talked, that did indeed appear to be what we both were on the same page on. Later, I was talking to one of the worship leaders during our church service, and he asked me if I had seen the Shen Yun flyer. I said, no, I didn't get one in the mail. I said, do you need yours? and he gave me his, of course. And he said, yeah, he said, my antenna went up when I saw this. Of course, he's a worship leader. He's into the arts. And this, of course, as I will share. And I have shared, by the way, in previous podcasts quite some time ago about this local presentation of Shen Yun in my hometown. It's actually a worldwide phenomenon. They go all over the place. But anyway, he gave me the article, and I thought, you know what, this bears sharing with my audience here today, because this is a big group, and they are active worldwide. And, of course, they're deceptive, as all cultic-type groups are. Now, the flyer that he gave me, It actually says 5,000 years of civilization reborn. And I want to read a few comments from this multi-page flyer. It says, first page, a higher beginning. Chinese culture, like other great civilizations of the past, has long believed that its greatest ideas, achievements, and qualities were divinely inspired. But what if we could witness this unfolding before our eyes? And, of course, it has a picture of a lady dancing, floating in the air with all kinds of colorful clothing and such, you know, flying in the wind. The higher origins of traditional beauty. China was known as the land of the divine. Legend has it that each dynasty came from a unique heavenly paradise. Over the course of five millennia, deities descended to earth and took on human form, playing all sorts of roles, from emperors to heroes, sages to generals. Their wisdom and virtue laid the groundwork for China's rich culture. Of course, apparently this is what they do believe. It is even said that classical Chinese dance and attire mirror those in the heavens. China's dynasties have come and gone, and much of this heritage has been lost. Shen Yun strives to bring this ancient mythical culture to life, on stage reviving 5,000 years of profound wisdom and divine beauty. And for only $123, or I have a deal for you. You can also get in for as low as $83 a ticket. You too can share in this experience. But anyway, that's my little ad lib. little sarcasm there, huh? Little cult hostility there, actually, that you might pick up in my voice. Anyway, it says, beyond the boundaries of the imaginable, art carries the DNA of a civilization and can bring the brilliance and wisdom of a lost culture back to life. Xin Yun takes this as its mission, to revive the very best of China's 5,000 years of civilization. Now, reading on, historic epics of mystical lore. Everyone loves a great story, and Chinese culture has 5,000 years full of them. Historic epics, timeless literary classics, and mystical folklore make up this world of deities and magic. Now, there are, of course, of quotes and recommendations from various people. Vibrant ethnic and folk traditions. Let Xin Yun whisk you away to the top of the Himalayas for a sacred celebration, or to the vast grasslands to join Mongolian horsemen. Discover how diverse Chinese culture actually is, with dozens of different ethnic groups and regional folk traditions, each with its own distinct costumes and dance styles. And of course, every page of this has all these beautifully attired Chinese young people in dance mode, classical cultural dance. And anyway, some of the statements here of people who you may or may not be aware of. I was not aware of most of these people. But before I quote some of their quotes, it says, only Xin Yun presents on stage the rich, profound culture of classical China and all its authenticity. Decades of communist suppression had left the culture scarred and impoverished, but in 2006, a group of elite Chinese artists, some who escaped religious persecution themselves, came together in New York, united by a mission to revive their cultural heritage and share it with the world. For inspiration, they draw upon the spiritual teachings of Falun Dafa, which is another name they use, and its principles of truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance, or tolerance. This is a woman, Nancy Brock, former actress, associate producer. Everything was larger than life. It's one of the happiest evenings of my life. All my cares just disappeared, and I became 100% positive thinking. So I don't know. Norman Vincent Peale may have made a cameo appearance here. I'm not sure. Excuse my humor. Another gentleman named Richard Sweat, S-W-E-T-T, a former U.S. congressman, says, I was filled with hope. The cares of the world were shed from my shoulders. I was uplifted. The world is a better place because of Xin Yun. Now, Christine Walewska, a master cellist, said, really out of this world. The words to describe it might be divine, reborn, and hope. And then Robert Stromberg, who was an Academy Award-winning production designer of the movie Avatar, says, unique, absolutely beautiful. So inspiring, I think I may have found some new ideas for the next Avatar movie. So what I'm not saying, folks, is to run out and see this production based on all of these descriptions by the cult group who's behind it. Let's just say we want to look at some other people and what some other folks have to say about it, including those people representing the Chinese Communist government. Because, of course, there is a real antagonism between this cult and the Chinese communists. And, of course, as long as there's been cults and isms, as they are known, you know, like as in communism, groups that are involved in controlling people and their thoughts and everything else, you know, you're going to be controlled by any number of groups, whether they are cults or whether they're some of the various isms, as they are known by, you know, ISMS, isms. There is, of course, two totalitarian groups here vying for control. And let's just see what the Embassy of the People's Republic of China in the Republic of Latvia. I have three different articles, really, I want to quote from. I don't know if we'll get through them all tonight or not. We're going to see. The first one, and I went straight to the Q&A, the Falun Gong cult. When and how did the Falun Gong cult come into being? It says, contrary to the presumption of many people, Falun Gong came into existence rather lately. It was founded in 1992 in the city of Changchun, northeast China, by an ordinary Christian citizen, Li Hongzhi, who did so simply by piecing together some elements from Qigong with certain poses of the Tai dance. Now, more, you know, I'll share more later on Qigong, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. However, Li later proclaimed that Falun Gong was his innovation millions of years ago, and that he had imparted Falun Gong to the people on several previous Earths. At the beginning, Li Hongzhi explained that Falun Gong practice would keep practitioners free of disease, and he held classes to teach Falun Gong to his followers and cured illness through his own energy and power. However, in that process, things went inevitably wrong, since his patients were persuaded not to go for any medical treatments while being cured by Li himself. As a result, many of his patients died. In order to get out of trouble, Li soon gave up curing illness through his own energy and powers. He began to ask his followers to learn his theory instead, which, as he put it, could cure their illness and help them escape from mortality and fly to a place what he described as heaven. Of course, every follower was supposed to buy his books and attend classes accordingly. From this business, he accumulated a huge amount of money and became a millionaire. To say the least, Li amassed $5.4 million through publication of Falun Gong materials and tax evasion. Now, this was actually in 2006 when this article was written, so that's many millions ago, I would think. I don't know how much he's amassed at this point in time, as that's many years later. What are the main arguments of Falun Gong? Why is it deemed a cult or a heresy? Falun Gong has a set of ridiculous ideas, the basic one of which claims that the doomsday is coming, that human beings will be extinct soon, that modern science can do nothing to prevent the catastrophe, that only Falun Gong can save mankind, and that Li Hongzhi is the sole savior. Many Falun Gong practitioners were driven into such intense fear by these heresies that they became insane and even committed suicide or killed their loved ones. Another of Li's ideas, and because neither the government nor the rule of law can solve social problems, he should be the rightful ruler. You know, he makes the statement, government is useless, and because neither the government nor the rule of law can solve social problems, he should be the rightful ruler. He renounced modern science and said that the world should listen to him, otherwise everything will be lost. Li said the Falun Dafa is the only grand theory that can save mankind and is the most profound and superb of all sciences and philosophies and a ladder for people to ascend to heaven. Although the banner of Falun Gong is said to be truthfulness, benevolence, and tolerance, whenever Falun Gong is criticized, he gets his followers to create a disturbance. One good example is their besieging of media organizations' office buildings in 1998. Li said that to practice a Falun Gong well, people must make a clean break with other ideas and cannot mention what they learned before and are forbidden to use what they feel, see, or know, or the doctrines of other beliefs. Otherwise, they will learn a false grand theory and damage the grand theory. By spreading these fallacious ideas, Li has actually signed a life and death contract with his followers, who have to obey all his instructions and depend on him for everything. He forbids them to read other books or learn other theories and deprives them of the ability to distinguish between right and wrong. With those means and the tight control of the highly organized group, Li forces practitioners to follow his fallacious ideas. He also borrowed Buddhist doctrines to deify himself and claims that he possesses the body of law and can install the wheel of law in practitioners and give them extra sensory perception. Li ordered the Falun Gong practitioners not to take medicine when they're ill. He preaches that the power achieved by practicing Falun Gong can automatically kill disease and break away with the karmic chain. The cosmic principle that acts from previous lives are rewarded or punished in this life. Some followers were deceived by this fallacy and began to look for supernatural powers, and many have become psychopathic. In 1997 and 1998, a fifth of the patients in the psychopath ward of a hospital were Falun Gong practitioners. Now, he also said that man was created by gods, and life and death and disease are debts and sins acquired in previous lives. So, obviously, a belief in reincarnation here. Many people have been confused by these fallacious ideas and have refused to go to hospital for medical treatment when they become ill, and a number have died as a result. Since Falun Gong was founded in 1992 until 2002, more than 1,700 Falun Gong practitioners died. Among them, more than 1,400 died from their refusal to take medicine, and about 300 committed suicide with the attempt to fly to heaven. And it kind of brings back memories of the Heaven's Gate cult, who took their own lives while they were waiting for a giant UFO to pick them up and fly them to a heaven of sorts. In summary, Falun Gong has all the inherent characteristics of a cult, namely blind worship of its leader, systematic mind control, spreading heretic ideas, amassing wealth, secret organization, and endangering the society. It is nothing else but an evil cult, just as the Japanese Aum Doomsday cult and the so-called White Brother cult that was spread in some former Soviet republics during the 90s. I remember the Japanese Aum Doomsday cult was a blind cult leader, and they had sarin gas, I believe, in the subways and killed a lot of people. It's terrible. The article goes on. On August 16th, 2000, leaders from the five different religious beliefs in China, namely Buddhism, Taoism, Islamism, Catholicism, and Christianity, denounced Falun Gong for stealing Buddhists and Papists, you know, in other words, the Catholic Pope phrases, to spread its fallacies and defame these religions, and urged the authorities to ban this cult. And my comment would be, well, that's one false religion stealing from several others, with exception to the Christian group over there, of course. If they're biblical Christians, I don't believe they're a false religion. But anyway, I digress. The next article is from The Guardian, and the date is December the 12th, 2017, so a little bit more recent article. It says the traditional Chinese dance troupe, China Doesn't Want You to See. It says Beijing sees it as the propaganda wing of the Falun Gong movement and a threat to their rule, and hounds the dancers from city to city trying to sabotage their shows. It says, if you live in a major city in the Western Hemisphere, you have probably seen the image. A Chinese woman floating through the air, dress billowing out behind her, and with the caption, Shen Yun, art that connects heaven and earth. The adverts, or advertisements, are for a company that based in upstate New York that presents spectacles of Chinese traditional dance, in which a large cast performs in intricate, synchronized routines to the pop Eastern sounds of a live orchestra. Each year, Shen Yun's ads spring up across the world in advance of the company's touring season, from banners hanging from street lamps in Brussels to billboards looming over Los Angeles freeways, and it's even in my hometown. According to the Chinese government, however, Shen Yun is the singing, dancing face of Falun Gong, which the government describes as a malevolent, anti-society cult that leads its followers to self-mutilization, suicide, and murder. Since its inception, Shen Yun has gone out of its way to minimize its connection to Falun Gong. In the posters designed to attract the culture lovers of Berlin or London, the performers simply share an ancient art form. The real story of Shen Yun, however, begins as a story of religious repression. Falun Gong, sometimes called Falun Dafa, as we mentioned earlier, is a spiritual movement that emerged out of the Qigong boom in China in the early 90s. Here's that little explanation I wanted to run by you. An explosion of Tai Chi-like practices that claim to promote health through specific movements and breathing. You've probably heard of Tai Chi, or even Qigong itself, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. Falun Gong stood out from the many other forms of Qigong for a number of reasons. First, Falun Gong's mysterious leader, Li Hongzhi, had not just created a set of specific exercises, but had mapped out an entire spiritual worldview that looked suspiciously like a religion. Second, by the late 90s, it was becoming remarkably popular, with an estimated 70 million practitioners. That was in the late 90s, and of course I had heard 100 million at a later date, including high-level members of the Communist Party, you know, amongst these 70 million practitioners. To the Chinese government, the fact that a quasi-religious organization stubbornly outside party control could inspire large numbers of people to action was a reason for concern. Li, the man who started this mess, fled China and in 1998 became a permanent resident of the U.S., where he has been based ever since. In China, the government began to crack down. In China, the government began to crack down on the group. I'm sorry. On April 25th, 1999, more than 10,000 Falun Gong practitioners quietly gathered in Beijing to demand an end to government harassment. The government outlawed Falun Gong, arrested tens of thousands of people, and initiated a propaganda campaign that saw daily newspaper articles warning people about the dangerous cult. Along with democracy, Tibet, and Taiwan, Falun Gong became one of the government's most forbidden subjects. During this crisis, Li disappeared from the public eye for nearly a year, leaving followers struggling to figure out how to respond to their new position as political pariahs. When Li reemerged, says Andrew Junker, a sociologist at Valparaiso University, who has written extensively about Falun Gong, it was with a new message. There was a transition to a religious and millenarian interpretation, says Junker, a sign that the end of days are here. It's like a prophecy cult, isn't it? In a much circulated interview with Time magazine in 1999, Li talked about Falun Gong followers having the powers to levitate and spoke at length about an extraterrestrial invasion. Since the beginning of this century, aliens have begun to invade the human mind and its ideology and culture. That's a quote from this man, Li. He said when the interviewer asked him if he was a human being, Li's response was intentionally enigmatic. You can think of me as a human being. It says, despite Beijing's insistence, Falun Gong is not a cult. So says the article, Nicholas Hune Brown, who wrote this article, who's apparently not didn't do his homework. But anyway, that's his comment. But then he turns right around and says, and I might add, you know, if it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck. It sure sounds like a cult to me. Anyway, this author says it's a diffuse group without strong hierarchies, and there is no evidence of the kind of coercive control that labels suggest. Well, we'll see what a cults expert says a little bit later here. But it is strange, he will say that, without the ballast of tradition, all new religions can feel absurd. And some of Li's stranger comments have given the group the aura of an Eastern version of Scientology. Falun Gong has moralistic, socially conservative beliefs preaching against homosexuality and sex out of wedlock. The group is secretive and has a tendency to exaggerate and distort. For years, the Epoch Times, and that's their newspaper, by the way, has claimed that hundreds of millions of people have renounced the Chinese Communist Party, relying on numbers that are impossible to verify. For all the competing narratives around Shen Yun, one place to find a clear version of its founding is in the words of Falun Gong's leader himself. Since the year 2000, Li has delivered long speeches to Falun Gong practitioners at international conferences. The speeches are part State of the Union, part papal address, and a curious mixture of the mundane and the spiritual. They are collected at Minghui.org, the center of much Falun Gong online activity. In one speech, he admonishes his followers for not working hard enough to bring out the crowds. Once again, sounds a little cultic to me. He also encourages followers not to emphasize the Falun Gong connection. You needn't insist on telling people that Shen Yun has ties to Falun Gong and makes a big fanfare out of it, he tells them. It sounds a little bit like, to me, like the Wizard of Oz. You know, don't pay attention to that man behind the curtain. You know, methinks he protests too much, folks. But anyway, what emerges from a decade's worth of Li's speeches is a strange story. A massive dance company led by a messianic figure who both communicates with celestial beings on a higher plane and takes care of local marketing. It is as if the Dalai Lama spent his spare time producing Gilbert and Sullivan revivals. Shen Yun is not a mere dance performance, but a chance to save the world's sentient creatures and dissolve evil. For followers, then, the success of Shenyun is freighted with significance. The fall of the corrupt communists, the salvation of family members left behind in China, and the spiritual fate of the world, all tied together and dependent on the dance performance of groups of lithe 20-somethings on stages around the world. And if I didn't mention it already, and I believe I may have, or I was going to, but I'm running out of time, I have seen this group in more than one country in my travels around the world. I've seen them protesting, and I've seen them, you know, drawing attention to their group, and you know, the fact that they're a persecuted group and what have you, all over the world. Now, with the time that I have left, I just want to introduce the next article, which I will be reading next week to you. This is from the Cult Education Institute by Rick Ross. This article is Falun Gong, a Cult, and this was January 2009 by Rick Ross. And by the way, this particular group, I believe, is more of a secular cult education institute. I don't believe Rick Ross is a Christian, but he still quotes and notes some renowned cults experts from the secular world. And so I found it helpful because there hasn't been a lot of Christian cults people who have taken on this cult to my knowledge. And so I'm gleaning some of the information the best of my ability to warn you about this group in case they come swinging through your town or floating, as it may be, on a puff of wind. Anyway, so I will share this last article with you next week, and then we will turn to Christian magazines, or so-called Christian magazines, which, of course, are, as I like to refer to it, a one-way to apostasy, one way among many.